what we're sharing this morning is to help us to move deeper into the reality of what Christ did on the cross, so that it's not just an intellectual sharing the gospel, but it's alive within us. There's a passion, there's a reality. We know how to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here in John chapter 3, and well-known scripture that we read so often when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and Jesus replied to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." We won't go into that, but just take note of that, unless we are born again. And then the man asked, how can a man, when he is old, be born again? And Nicodemus asked him, and surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. But you should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it was anyone born of the Spirit." So we see born of the flesh, it's the normal. We see the waters breaking and we see the reality of a normal childbirth. But in order to get to the kingdom, you cannot just be born in a natural way. Your spirit has to be born again. Your spirit has to be born again. The spirit gives life to your spirit. And that's crucial in understanding the reality of the gospel. Because we've looked at previous Sunday, the wages of sin is death. Okay? And then we looked at the reality of why people die. And we spent time looking at there. Then Jesus continues and he goes on and he says here in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Remember, one man's sin last Sunday, one man's sin, Adam's sin. Sin, death was never part of God's original perfect plan. God did not create Adam and Eve to die. Did not create creation to be going to decay. God's was his perfect creation. Death was a result of disobedience, of eating from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of life. So death is God's punishment for sin. And that's important to understand. So we see there, as we saw there last Sunday, because of one man's sin, one man's disobedience, one man, one action, one. Sin came into the world, all die, all have sinned. It's one man's disobedience. So we see now the justice of God concerning disobedience taking place. And here we see, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be condemned." So here we see the justice of God being fully discussed over here concerning what God has made provision, what God has done in order to deal with the consequences of sin, with God's punishment, because he's a righteous God and he's got to deal with sin. So we're starting to understand a little bit more of something about the love of God. And that's the key this morning, is to get a better understanding of what this love of God is all about. How does this love of God deal with what can we say? Unrighteousness. How does the love of God deal with guilt and deal with our sin? How does this love of God deal with the fact that he's a righteous God, he's a just God, and he's got to deal with that because he's a holy God as well? How does the love of God deal with this? We often speak about the power of his love. We often speak about love never fails. But let's move into the life of that, of God's love that never fails. Let's move into the power of this incredible love of God. Let's move into more of what His love is all about and understanding the incredible truth of God's righteousness and justice that's been displayed through His Son on the cross. Okay, you ready? Let's go. So here we see, let me just read that scripture again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Remember the name of Jesus? To save us from our sin. So we're seeing something now about God so loved that He gave His Son to save, no condemnation, eternal life. So be moving into more of just not having the word of God loves you so much. But now we want to move into the power of no condemnation. We want to move into the reality that this love of God that is poured into our heart, oh, it just speaks about the no condemnation. It speaks about justification. We want to live in the reality of His love that enables us to enjoy the freedom of intimacy and oneness with the Father. Not just words. We want to go into the life of His love. Okay, so here we carry on and Jesus says over here, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Whatever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. God is a just God. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. In other words, they loved darkness instead of embracing the reality of living in God's love. The power of the gospel is the only power that is able to break through that deception and to bring a person into the life of being loved by the Father and in understanding the power of that love of His. So everyone, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Just that verse opens up no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The boldness that we can come. So let's go to John chapter 5. I'm going to read, I'm not sure how far we'll get, but we'll start just in the first 5 verses. At this time. Therefore, and in chapter 4 or chapter 3, he's been speaking about all have sinned and no one righteous. Then he's starting to speak in chapter 4 about Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham. God birthed faith into Abraham concerning the future of the promise of his son Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed. And because he simply believed God, that faith that God birthed in him, God then said, Abraham, I declare you faultless. I declare you righteous. And God gave his righteousness as a gift to Abraham. And as I shared previously, and then God said to confirm that, to really make you aware of just how incredible this gift of righteousness and that you are going to live in the reality of this gift. I'll give you circumcision as a sign to confirm. So we saw there that circumcision, Abraham believed before the law in with Moses, circumcision was the evidence, God's confirmation to Abraham that now you know, circumcision says you are righteous. That was the reason. And that's why today the same thing happens to you and I. When you and I believe and we receive Christ Jesus, we get God's righteousness as a gift and we are circumcised by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the evidence, because now the old Adam nature is broken. It's no longer the power. We are now in Christ Jesus. Exactly the same thing. So the life of the Holy Spirit, when you know I'm free, I'm no longer that Adam, that's the evidence that the Holy Spirit has circumcised us and we have received the gift of righteousness. Okay, because you're no longer living your old life. There's a transformation taking place. So all the transformation, the growth in our lives, that's the evidence that you and I have received the gift of righteousness. God is doing a mighty work in our lives. Grace reigns through righteousness. So now, he then comes here to chapter 5. And based on the fact that we receive the promises by faith, we receive the promises through righteousness by faith, and he begins to share. Therefore, based on what he's just been sharing over here, since we have been justified, since we have been acquitted of our sin, the word justified and the word righteousness in the Hebrew is it's the same word. Since we have been justified, since we've been acquitted of sin, since we've been declared blameless, since we... Oh, what can we say? Just grasp that for a moment. Since God has declared us faultless, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. For God so loved. Something about his love, and there's something about what took place on the cross. There's something about his Son Jesus Christ for us who believe. There's something about the reality of living in the love of God that enables us to experience the joy of being faultless. The joy of being blameless. The freedom of guilt. The power of his love. The freedom of us living free of guilt and condemnation. We're going to go deeper, but let's just lay something down first. Now he carries on, and we read over here, since then we have been justified through faith. God gave us his faith. He birthed it in us when we were listening to his good news. We have peace with God. You know that word peace? I think Robbie will understand it all. The tradesman will understand it. To join. In carpentry you have those dub joints. The word peace, it's an amazing word because it speaks about to join, to tie together. Wholeness. The state of being unbroken. The power of his love brings us into the state of being unbroken. Oh, just enter into that. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That ever believes is declared not guilty and brought into a oneness with him and a state of unbrokenness, reconciliation, a state of unbrokenness. Just imagine for that a moment the same relationship that the Father has with his Son Jesus Christ. It's the same relationship that he has with you and I. We have peace. We're no longer separated. We're no longer enemies. Unbroken relationship. We now have been united with God. The same way that the Father communicated to His Son and His Son communicated to His Father is exactly the same how you and I now, because of the love of God, has brought us into this peace. That you and I have the exact same relationship, that we can speak to the Father as His Son spoke, and the Father speaks to you and I as He spoke to the Father. No difference. The only difference is here what we believe. The only difference is that we haven't really spent time and we've grasped the depth of this incredible love of our Father that has brought us into the oneness, that brought us into the joining, into the union, baptized by the Spirit in Christ, into Christ Jesus. It's a renewing, it's a believing, it's a faith, it's to receive what our Heavenly Father has given to you and I. How much time do we spend trying to fix the brokenness of mankind? They must share the gospel that they can come into the unbroken state of love. Why does Paul pray, Father, give them the power by the Spirit to enable them to grasp this love of yours? Can you see? For God so loved the world, and we're trying to live our lives outside of the depth and the reality of God's love for us, living in the state of unbrokenness, living in the state of oneness with our Father through Jesus Christ. Powerful. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us to not just share the gospel, but to live in it so that we can share it because we're living in it in the depth that we haven't lived before. Let's carry on. And look at what he says over here. There's so much more, but through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The same relationship that the Father has with His Son is exactly the same. We don't see Jesus hiding from His Father. We see such a oneness. Jesus says, in His own words, He says, it's the Father in me that's doing His work. And you know what? We're going to be doing the same thing. Things that I've been doing, you're going to do even greater things. Because of peace. Because of His love. What happened on that cross. His righteousness and justice. And as I'm reading this, I hope you could start to get an understanding a little bit more of the reality of the cross of Christ Jesus and how Christ is a man, sinless, and how He's busy bringing in the reality of the Father's righteousness and justice in dealing with Adam's disobedience, dealing with death, dealing with Satan's hold over mankind because of sin. All the time, see if you can discover righteousness and justice in all of this. And he goes on and he says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. For God so loved the world. And now in the reality of His love, we have access into this incredible grace of our Heavenly Father. Oneness, peace, freedom, eternal life. Oh, we have an amazing God who loves the world, and the world doesn't know it. Praise God that we are beginning to know a little bit more, that we can tell the world the good news of God. The Holy Spirit is helping the family of God worldwide to move out of the compromised gospel, to make people feel you know, good and to try and bring more people in there and to remove all that stuff and just bring it to the centrality, to the power of what the gospel, what the cross this was all about. So that once again there's that pure, powerful work of God bringing salvation to mankind. He carries on and he speaks, and we're not going to go into that. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now look at verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit in the context of therefore we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God despite the sufferings, etc., etc., because we rejoice in there's something taking place. And what happens? We've got the hope. And hope does not put us to shame. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We've been justified. Hope does not put us into shame. Hope does not disappoint us. Why? 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 Because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, when he's speaking in Corinthians there about the wisdom of God, Paul writes there that Jesus has become our wisdom of God, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, complete. And here we see something about God who loved this world, this love that sets man free, this love that has paid the price, this love that is so powerful, this powerful, perfect love he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now let's stop there. Let's go into some scriptures. Let's go into Romans chapter 13. Well-known verse there in verse 8. You have been justified. Now let's look at verse 8 in Romans. We carry in Paul's theme. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. No condemnation for those who love God, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You've been justified. God has poured his love into our hearts. What do we read over here? For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Christ did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. No condemnation. His love frees us. The power of the cross. Let's carry on. The commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God has poured his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's love within in our hearts is the evidence for you and I to know that he fulfilled the law. Christ fulfilled the law. Let's go further and you'll see now. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, well-known scripture. And we read over there again about the circumcision by the Holy Spirit. For in Christ all, in verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off the old sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hand of man, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Now listen to this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over the cross. Can you see righteousness and justice just in that? Can you see that before the Ten Commandments came, sin was in the world? People died because death is the penalty, the God's punishment for sin. Can you see in the world that before the Ten Commandments were given, the written law of God was already in the hearts and the conscience of man, told us what is right and wrong? Can you see that as the Ten Commandments came worldwide, the Ten Commandments was displayed and taught and etc., etc.? Can you see the reality that this law of God, in whether it's the internal law of by the conscience, by the Holy Spirit, or whether it is the written law that the Ten Commandments that we read about, can you see that it shared and told us that we are sinners, that we have fallen short? Can you see how the enemy has used that to say, no, there's a legal reality of why the wages of sin is death? You have sinned. Can you see the power of his love, who now takes upon himself as a man and nails all of that onto the cross? Can you see the justice of God saying, hey, what the enemy done, what sin has done, Christ Jesus, a sinless one, has triumphed over that. Now there's no condemnation. Can you see the powerful work of the love of God when God says, you are justified, faultless, forgiven. It's nailed to the cross. My son triumphed. Righteousness, justice, setting us free and opening the way that all those who believe will not be condemned but have eternal life. God's good news to mankind is so good for you and I. Let's carry on. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And here we have an amazing truth here with the Apostle John in his revelation of God's love. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Is his love perfect? Yes. Love fulfills the law. So we know love dwells within us. Love has fulfilled the requirements of the law. We know because we have the Holy Spirit, we know that all the accusation against us has been dealt with. We know now why our Father can say to you and I, you are justified because you have received by faith my righteousness. You have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, brought into my Son Jesus. He is your life. In him you live, you move, and have your being. He is your righteousness. Now you can begin to understand this perfect love of God that's in us. Why do we live such a life where we battle? Does God love me? God does not love me. Oh, we must pray that the Holy Spirit will really help us to to move and to know the depth of this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now look what John writes here. And he says here, let's go in verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. When Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Father and I will come and make our dwelling in you. He's poured his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Perfect love dwells within us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect love has fulfilled the law. Perfect love. Let's see what else perfect love does. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Oh, that's deep. We know, verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. We know that we are his children. We know that we live in him and he lives in us because he has given us his Spirit. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given to you and I. We know, 1 John 3 verse 1, we know this incredible love of God that he's poured his love into our lives and called us to be his children. We can live in this world. We can rejoice in our suffering and our pain, etc., etc., because God has poured his love into our heart. Hope, this hope does not disappoint us. We know what he's saying over here. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. Do we believe that God has given us his Holy Spirit? Can we see the evidence? Because our life has changed from who we used to be and who we are now. Can we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us? In other words, can we see the evidence that we live in him and he lives in us? Because there's this powerful working of his incredible perfect love that is so powerful within us. Let's carry on. Because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus to save us from our sin. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And we know and rely on the love God has for you and I. The fruit of the Spirit, love. We know the evidence because our life is changing. We know the evidence that we have the Holy Spirit because God is real to us. His intimacy, his oneness. We know the evidence of the Holy Spirit within us because we live in the unbrokenness of a relationship with God. We have peace with God. Reconciled. Carries on. Now look what he says over here. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world, we are like him. Do you have the word peace? Do you have the word justified? In this world, we are like our Lord Jesus Christ. The same relationship that the Father has with his Son is exactly the same relationship. The righteousness of Jesus Christ we have received as a gift, and we are living in His righteousness that brought us just as He is. So are we. In other words, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because just as He is, so are we. How many people fear death? How many believers fear death? You see, you've got so much here to share to so many people that are afraid of death. You've got so much to share with people that ask the question, why do people die? You've got so much to share in the last two Sundays. And yeah, we carry on. Look what he says over here. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Hope does not bring us into shame, because God has poured His love into our heart, perfect love, His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And as we know this love, as we grow more and more in knowing this incredible, perfect love that's in us, and because His love is in us, we are in Him and He is in us, and because His perfect love is so perfect, there's no fear of judgment. Because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, with judgment. But there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but to save the world. And when we believe, He puts His Spirit in us, and this perfect love comes and dwells within us. And this perfect love is the guarantee, is the evidence within us that we don't have to fear when we die. Because justice and righteousness on the cross has been dealt with, the wages of sin. Jesus did it for you and I. One act of a man in disobedience brought death to all mankind. But here, one act of the righteous Son of God going to the cross brought life to all mankind for those who believe. Justice. God dealing with disobedience. God dealing with sin. God dealing with death through His Son on the cross. Justice of God. God dealing with the brokenness. God dealing with the condition of mankind. The justice of God on the cross through His Son Jesus. Jesus did it for you and I, so that we could have perfect love dwelling within us. And we could live in perfect love. And perfect love drives out all fear. So Father, may Your Holy Spirit help us to grasp the depth, the width, the height, the length of the love of Christ for mankind. May You enable us to grasp that. May You take us into the depth of this incredible love of Yours. May You break free from our minds any thoughts that try and say Your love is not perfect. May we begin to see just how perfect is Your love and the power of this love of Yours that has brought us into the place of no condemnation, no fear of death. We have an incredible God. See, and what happens when you and I go into this and spend more time and just meditating, there's so much more that, but we'll stop here. When we go into this, it's not long before you're overwhelmed by how much Jesus loves mankind. You're overwhelmed by the depth of His love. Because it's no longer just knowledge. We're living in, we're feeling, we go into the reality of what He did for us. Knowing that He came to fulfill the law. Knowing that the greatest commandment, as Jesus said to the man and asked him, is to love God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. For the whole law and the prophets hang on to that commandment of love God and love one another. Here we see Jesus, fully man, coming, loving His Father with all His heart, His soul, His body, His mind, His being, and loving mankind with all His heart, His love, everything, loving mankind, filling the complete reality of all the requirements of God Almighty for you and I. That we simply believe, all of that gets credited to us. The love of God. He did not send His Son to condemn, but to save the world. We have a good Father there. And may we, and I encourage you to spend the time just going and, God, I want to meditate on some of these scriptures. I want to just meditate on the fact that Your perfect love fulfilled the law. And therefore there's nothing that the enemy can use against me. You triumphed all of that on the cross, Jesus. Justice. So in Revelations, where how do we overcome the accuser of the brethren? You see, the word of our testimony. Perfect love dwells. Christ has known that accusation. No, I have His righteousness. Don't bring up my past because that's not me. I died to that. Christ nailed all of that accusation, all the sins, everything that accused me. He nailed to the cross. I'm in Jesus. I am His. I've become the righteousness of God. Freedom! Celebrate freedom, what He has done. Amen. So as we have communion this morning, here's a celebration time. For God so loved the world. Thank You. Father, we want to thank You this morning again as we come and share with You, come and share with Your Son. Father, we just continue just being seated in the heavenly realms with You. We want to thank You as You open it up, and I know what You're going to be doing, and I thank You. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your ministry. Thank You, Jesus, for the power of Your blood. Perfect blood. Perfect love. Thank You for the fact that, God, You are love. Complete package of perfection. And we celebrate this morning with You, Lord. Amen.